And then, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Jesus gives us a new commandment today. Love one another. Thankfully, it's a simple commandment, right? Easy to remember and super easy to do, right? It's easy for us to love one another. No, we know that it's not. Loving other people is one of the hardest things that we've been given to do. I think that what we find is there are so many people out there who are just unlovable, right? The way they speak, the way they act, the way they think, the way they handle situations in life, it just makes them insufferable sometimes. You can't stand to be around them. And that's our problem of judgment, right? That's what really gets in the way of us loving people. And what I find so strange is that we can't really control this judgment, can we, right? Before the person can even do anything to explain who they are, defend themselves, even show you a little bit of their true self, you have judged them. We all do. I think it's kind of natural for us. We as humans like to put people in nice, neat little categories, right? But then there's other things that happens that you might like them at first, but then you judge them and you don't really like them anymore, right? You might hear their politics and think, well, that person's an idiot, and I don't agree with them, and I don't love them. You might see the way they handle their children, and because it's different than the way that you think children should be handled, you think, that person's an awful parent. It's at that point that you stop loving them. Right? And it might even be something as silly and as stupid as you don't like their accent. You don't like the way they laugh. And it might even be that it just hits you in the wrong way on the wrong day, and you judge them and you stop loving them. But yet it's in those exact moments that we are called to love. Jesus doesn't say, when it's convenient for you, love one another. He just says, do it. But yet it's such a challenge for us because sin has ruined us. It has broken us. And we look at that person, we say, I just can't love them. They're just awful. And so, in order to begin to love people, we need to begin with forgiveness. And forgiveness is an extremely powerful tool for restarting. You might have heard this story. This is from about 8 years ago up in the cities of two young men who got into a fight one night. And one man shot the other and killed him. That man who killed him was tried, sentenced, and sent off to prison. But the mother of the murdered man went and visited her son's killer. And it wasn't immediate, but after a while, they got to know one another. They talked with one another. They hugged. And she is quoted as saying, it was at that point, after that hug, and she forgave him. And now their relationship, after he is out of jail, their relationship is described as mother and son. And this is the story of Mary Johnson and O'Shea Israel, who now are mother and son. The man who killed her son has now become her son. The forgiveness that she felt in her heart led her to love this man in a very special and unique way, in the way that only a mother can love their child. And we as Christians know this very well. We know that there is a great link between forgiveness and love. We see the greatest example of love when the Father sends the Son to save us. His expression of love is that he would die on our behalf. And it takes a great amount of love to do what he did. It takes a great amount of love to suffer as he did for us. In this suffering, in this death, in this resurrection that we see in Jesus Christ, we only know love. We see the love of God there. And here, today, as we reflect on this commandment that Jesus gives before his death and resurrection, when he tells us to love one another, again, it's not a light phrase that he offers. It's not just a simple suggestion. He's serious. Might even say dead serious about what he's saying. Because what Jesus does is, as he tells us to love one another, he leads us in example. And that self-sacrificing nature of the cross is the greatest example of love. An outsider would see us looking at a picture of a man in agony on a cross and think that we are bizarre people who delight in torture. But we don't. What we see on that cross is God's love for us. And not the whim of someone, but something that takes great dedication to love us. And really, who is more unlovable than we are? We like to think that we're worthy. We like to think that we deserve these things, but we don't. What do? We don't follow the rules. We constantly break the commands. We constantly sin. And then we have the audacity to go to him and say, please forgive us, when both God and we know we're just going to fail again. But that is where we do see the love of God. The love of God is found right there in us broken people who are constantly failing, who give in to temptation, who say that they're going to do better and then don't. That Christ continues to love us is an expression of love that is beyond anything that we know. Jesus later tells us in the Gospels that there is no greater love than that a friend would lay down his life for someone else. And he calls us his friends, but more than that, he calls us his beloved. And so when he calls you to love people, it's not just a smile. It's not just a pat on the back. It's the serious stuff. It's the heavy things. You are called to neglect your needs. You are called to be self-sacrificing. You are called to love the unlovable. But in all of that, it sounds so daunting. It sounds so scary, right? That's so much work. But I think what we do know of love, too, is that we know that love moves us to do some pretty wild things. I am very grateful to be a married man. But I have taken my wife from her home. It is in her love that she came up to Minnesota with me. She wants to stay in St. Louis. She likes you guys, don't worry. I'm not trying to say anything. But her home is in St. Louis. That's where she wants to be, around her family. And in her love, she comes up here with me to serve with me too. I know some of you married military spouses who have led you to move to crazy places. One lady in this congregation, as she married somebody in the military, moved to Guam. I mean, sure, it's probably a pretty tropical paradise, but yet it's not home. And then even speaking with Marty and Marie last night, Marie tells me that in love, she went halfway around the world to Papua New Guinea so that she might serve with Marty. Love gets us to do some pretty wild things. Love leads you to open your doors up to your children when they come back home, when their lives fall apart. Love is what leads you to sit with an alcoholic who continually breaks your trust. Love leads you to open your doors for the broken and mistreated to serve them as foster parents. Love leads you to drive for miles and miles, sometimes even days, to help someone move. But yet, what do we get to hear today? That love is all about yourself. You have to love yourself before you can love others. And we who belong to Christ know that that's just not how it works. That's nonsense. Because you know love by loving others. You grow in love by serving others. You don't expect others to love you. You don't expect to receive anything. You simply love. And then we also hear that love is only romantic love, right? Either physical or things like dates. But it's so much deeper than that. It goes beyond the physical, and it never expects reciprocation, never expects to get anything back. And then there's that famous love passage, right? As Jesus tells us to love one another, Paul opens that up. I mean, throughout all of his letters, he opens up this idea of love. But really, I think we're most familiar of it from 1 Corinthians 13. If you've been to a wedding, you've probably heard this passage, right? But Paul puts it that love is patient, kind, puts others first, doesn't insist on its own way, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And that's really what I want to emphasize today, is that endurance, that enduring nature of love. Because what does it even mean to endure something? When is the last time that you consciously endured anything? Endurance means to get out of your comfort zone, to push and push and push till your last breath to accomplish something. Endurance is not the casual stuff, not the casual whim, not a fleeting desire. Endurance takes dedication. And when we are called to love one another, we are called to endure one another. Enduring is that chronic stuff, the stuff that doesn't stop, the long nights, the early mornings. I think we see this best in parents as they stay up with a child, right? A baby who is getting into their sleep schedule. Parents' love wakes them up to care for that child. Maybe a child who's sick. Parents' love sits by the bedside. But it's not just parents, it's even in our spouses, right? As our spouses are ones who sit with us and endure things with us. I've shared with you guys my difficulties with depression. You get to see me just a couple of hours a week. Rachel must endure me that entire week. And sometimes, most of the time, I'm not super pleasant to be around. Love endures all things. And so when we close today, maybe a little cynically, you guys have heard this before, right? You know you're supposed to do it. You know you're supposed to love one another. We get this call from every angle, whether it is in the Christian world or in the secular world. We are called to love one another. And so today, I want you to really reflect on this enduring love and how a Christian love is different than any other love out there because of that enduring nature. Reflect on the cross of Christ, where Christ went and endured the pain and suffering that we deserved to give us forgiveness in life. And then look in your lives. See where love has endured for you, where someone has gone the extra mile for you, or maybe you have been that person to go the extra mile. And then look and see, is there somewhere where you are being called to love and to endure? And through it all, remember and acknowledge the love of Christ, which leads you, which endures things for you, especially endured the cross for you and continues to endure you and lead you out of your sins to life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.